Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanz on this pre-recorded program via remote from Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, January 8, 2021. Sudan and Israel sign an agreement.
It's a great honor to be here with you today, and I think we'll have a tremendous impact on the people of Israel and the people of Sudan as they continue to work together on cultural and economic opportunities.
And forces with SPLA-IO killed three civilians in Upper Nile State's Maban County.
They attacked civilians in these areas, shot them with guns. They killed three civilians and wounded two others. They were dressed in military uniforms belonging to IO forces, and they came up to Gendereza areas.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Sudan has officially signed the Abraham Accords Agreement to normalize relations with Israel. The agreement paves the way for Sudan to relieve its massive debts to the World Bank. For VOA News, Naba Mohyeddin has more from Khartoum.
Thank you.
The historic signing took place at the U.S. Embassy in Khartoum Wednesday. U.S. Treasury Secretary Stephen Mnuchin signed on behalf of Washington, while Sudanese Minister of Justice Nasraddin Abdulbari signed on behalf of Khartoum. Afterward, Abdulbari spoke to reporters. Abdulbari says they welcome the Israeli and neighboring Arab country rapprochement and the diplomatic ties between Sudan and Israel that Sudan will boost for its own benefit and for other countries in the region. He said, "We appreciate Mr. Mnuchin's historical visit, and we hope to strengthen ties between Sudan and the U.S. Mnuchin also made a brief statement.
It's a great honor to be here with you today, and I think we'll have a tremendous impact on the people of Israel and the people of Sudan as they continue to work together on cultural and economic opportunities.
The Abraham Accords are a series of U.S. brokered agreements calling for the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, and now Sudan to normalize relations with Israel after decades of broken ties. Sudan agreed to sign the accords in part so the United States would remove the country from its list of state sponsors of terrorism, a designation that has blocked Sudan's access to international loans. Late in December, the U.S. removed Sudan from the list and agreed to give Sudan a $1 billion bridge loan to help it clear its debt to the World Bank. Sudanese economist Walid Al-Noor says Sudan needs this help to rebuild an economy struggling with shortages and inflation. Al-Noor says Sudan will benefit from signing the Abraham Accords and the U.S. bridge loan, as it will allow it to enter to the international banking system and relieve the sovereign debt. It will also allow Sudan to take a $1.5 billion loan from the World Bank annually. This amount will help in relieving the overwhelmed Sudanese economy. Sudan was put on the U.S. state sponsors of terrorism list for giving refuge to Osama bin Laden and other al-Qaeda leaders in the 1990s. Naba Mohyeddin for VOA News, Khartoum.
Local authorities in Lanya County of Central Equatoria say three civilians were killed and four others sustained injuries following clashes between cattle keepers from Terekeka County. The former police commissioner of what was Yei River State says cattle keepers from Terekeka raided cattle camps in Lanya, triggering violence. For VOA News, Daniel Friday Martin reports from Juba.
Local authorities say groups of cattle keepers who crossed over from Tali and Cobra in Terekeka County into Lanya County have been fighting each other in Lanya County over the past weeks. Major General Yowasalo Jankamba, former police commissioner for the now defunct Yei River State, says the well-armed cattle groups that are roaming through several villages of Lanya County started Thursday's violence.
They actually fought, and until they have actually killed three civilians in Kolbula, and there are four people wounded. They are now under medical attention because they are actually loitering with their own cattle within even the residential area. The cattle are many, and even the cattle keepers are having heavy machine guns. They have FKMs, RPGs, and so forth. This is not enough actually to control that situation. The cattle problem always been addressed by the national government.
Lojang says local leaders are trying to prevent further violence. Simon Ladu, the paramount chief of Lanya County, says cattle keepers from Terekeka raided hundreds of cattle from the host community.
My local residents have been killed over no clear reasons. Two big cattle camps with more than 700 cattle belonging to my local people have been raided, and I am calling on our state governor, Emmanuel Adil, to look into this issue with seriousness, because the problem of cattle raiding will not only affect Lanya County, but it will affect the whole Greater Yei.
Ladu urged President Salva Kiir to enforce his order requiring cattle groups to relocate. He says hundreds of civilians displaced from Lokurbang village, where the fighting broke out, have sought refuge in Lanya town, and armed pastoralists continue to roam in farming communities. Lawmaker Dosman Joyce, who represents Lanya County in the National Assembly, urged the national government to intervene.
My citizens are not in peace. Now these Mundaris have gone here in thousands of cows. As I'm talking now, there are almost 3,000 cows there. I'm calling the government to intervene in this situation because it's really bringing insecurity to our people again. These people need to be stopped in shooting and killing people. And then these people immediately have to evacuate from the area where they are.
Wanit Buyu, acting chairman of the Mondari community, urges cattle herders from Terekeka and the local community in Lanya to peacefully resolve their differences.
I'm appealing to my people. They are in Lanya. They should really live in the peaceful coexistence with the people of Lanya. What they should know is that that is not their area. They should seek, ask the people to give them a place where there are no people residing in it, so that they don't interfere with the local people, especially with their agricultural land.
Buyu says cattle herders who fled Terekeka County due to flooding are in search of green pastures for their animals in Central Equatorial State. George Lemery Leon, acting secretary for the now defunct Yei River State, condemned the incident and urged the parties not to take the law into their hands.
It is a conflict that has brought in the cattle herders from Terekeke and then the few cattle herders also in Lanya and farmers together. However, don't go into conflict. Report to the administration so that whatever happens in your area is handled within the context of the law. The laws of the country are working. The government is there in place.
Earlier this week, religious leaders in Central Equatoria's internal province told South Sudan in Focus that continued fighting in Terekeka and Lanya counties is hampering efforts by church leaders to bring the parties together to peacefully resolve their issues. For VOA News, I am Daniel Friday Martin.
Still on fighting, a local leader in Maban County of Upper Nile State says three people were killed and two others were injured following clashes between civilians and armed men suspected to be members of the SPLA-IO on Wednesday. A spokesman for the UN Refugee Agency says thousands of civilians have fled their homes. For VOA News, Dimo Silva Aurelio reports from Juba.
Ano Ether Gore, acting commissioner for Maban County of Upper Nile State, says suspected SPLA-IO forces from Lieng village attacked villages of Dang Aji, Yau Aji, and Dang Keden in Maban Wednesday morning, killing three civilians and injuring two others.
They attacked civilians in these areas, shot them with guns. They killed three civilians and wounded two others. They were dressed in military uniforms belonging to IO forces, and they came up to Gendereza areas near humanitarian aid workers.
SPLA-IO deputy military spokesman Colonel Lampol Gabriel told South Sudan in Focus Thursday he needed to consult with military commanders before commenting. Gore says the armed men also burned down several huts, displacing civilians from their homes.
They burned down houses in areas of Dang Aji, Yau Aji, and Dang Keden. There are homes which were burned. The security situation currently is good. It is only the incident which happened yesterday at around 7 a.m. But this morning, the situation is calm.
Maban hosts thousands of Sudanese refugees who fled violence in the Blue Nile region and the Nuba Mountains. Ife McDonald, a UNHCR spokesperson in South Sudan, says thousands of civilians have been temporarily uprooted from their homes as a result of the violence, putting a strain on aid workers to provide food, shelter, and clean drinking water.
We know that several thousand people from the host community have sought shelter in the Maban refugee camp, primarily Doro camp, but also Jendarasa and Yusuf Batil. The situation in general today and also yesterday is calm. In the refugee camp specifically, the situation has remained stable.
McDonald says as humanitarian agency assess the needs of displaced villagers, the situation remains worrisome.
We are working with the humanitarian partners today to ascertain those numbers who are temporarily displaced. The situation is still quite fluid and we're monitoring very closely.
McDonald is calling for an end to the violence so that displaced civilians can return safely to their homes while humanitarian agencies deliver services to those in need. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, some international reactions to U.S. Capitol Hill attack. Find out more after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
if you could be famous, what would you like to be famous for?
I don't know if I want to be famous for anything in particular, but I think being famous in a way that is beneficial to other people, say be famous for having like a really solid foundation that in turn inspires other people to also give back.
I would like to be famous for inventing new things, coming up with new and innovative ideas.
I'd wish to be a vibrant politician in my country, and I wish to be known for being a very good politician.
I would love to be famous in the sector of acting, like as an actor. I'd love to be an inspiration to others. Yeah, I like to inspire people.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Mudu. During this pandemic, the World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say if you have a fever, a cough, or have trouble breathing, you should stay home and contact a healthcare facility. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest health news.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. The World Health Organization warns European region is probably in the most acute phase of COVID-19 transmission, and drastic measures must be taken to control the spread of the pandemic. For VOA News, Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
More than 26 million cases of COVID-19 have been confirmed in the European region, including over 580,000 deaths. The World Health Organization reports levels of transmission remain extremely high. As a consequence, it notes countries and territories across the region are enacting full lockdown measures, affecting more than 230 million people. WHO Regional Director for Europe, Hans Kluge, says the year ahead offers new opportunities and tools, such as vaccines, for controlling the pandemic. At the same time, he notes, new challenges posed by the virus itself are of great concern. He says the COVID-19 virus has changed. He says it is normal for viruses that circulate to mutate over time. While little is known about the impact of the new variant, he says the new strain appears to spread more quickly and be more contagious.
22 countries in the WHO European region have detected this new variant. This variant is of concern as it has increased transmissibility. So far, we understand there is no significant change to the disease this variant produces, meaning the COVID-19 is not more nor less severe.
Kluge says the new viral strain spreads across all age groups and children do not appear to be at higher risk. Over time, he says, the variant may replace other lineages as seen in Britain and Denmark. Senior Emergency Officer in WHO's European region, Catherine Smallwood, says new variants are assessed for any public health impact. She says the strain identified in Britain has been studied for its transmissibility and impact on COVID-19 vaccines that have been developed.
There's probably quite promising evidence that the vaccine will work. And at the moment, there is no evidence for any of the variants that have emerged that there would be any decreased effectiveness of the vaccine. But studies are still ongoing, and we expect to hear more as those studies are confirmed.
The vaccine rollout will have little immediate effect on the control of transmission and spread of COVID-19. WHO officials say that will be achieved by following public health measures such as wearing masks and social distancing. However, vaccines will protect the most vulnerable people from becoming severely ill and dying in hospital. Vaccines also hold the promise of one day bringing this devastating pandemic to an end. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
From Geneva, we move back to the United States. The assault by supporters of President Donald Trump forced members of Congress who were in the process of certifying President-elect Joe Biden's victory to evacuate chambers for several hours. VOA Caroline Presutti returned to Capitol Hill on Thursday and described the scene to International Edition's Steve Miller.
It was surprisingly calm. There were, I would say, dozens of police officers, probably hundreds of police officers around the Capitol, both on the grounds and on the street. They were various police officers, National Guard out in full force, DC police officers, state police, both from Maryland and Virginia. They even had their vehicles lined up on the street around the Capitol. So the police are in force. People are curious. They're walking around the Capitol, but very calm. It's very quiet. It would be like a regular day if not for the police presence.
Carolyn, what can you tell us about security at the Capitol? Because there has been a lot of criticism leveled at law enforcement for not securing the building. And in fact, senators have also called for the sergeant at arms to resign or be fired when the new administration begins. So what can you tell us about the security moving forward?
Absolutely, Steve. You're right. There's a lot of controversy surrounding the security. Capitol Police saying that they were prepared. Others saying they were terribly outnumbered and they did not have those fence barriers in place that they typically have when they are expecting this size of crowd. Now, also, you have to keep in mind that this protest wasn't slated to be at the Capitol per se, so that could have been part of the problem. It was only after the president spoke that then the protest moved to the Capitol and that they breached the perimeter. And they actually went in areas that I have never been in, and I have a Capitol Hill credential. So you saw them scaling the walls of the Capitol, breaking through the windows inside the members' offices, sitting in their chairs, moving their chairs, turning them over, sitting in the chamber, something we have never seen before in this country. But what has taken place to assure this from never happening again is astounding. Because while we were there at the Capitol today, they were erecting 3-meter high fencing all around the Capitol, huge black fences. This is a large perimeter around the Capitol. We're not talking about right next to the building. We're talking about all the way on the grass next to the street.
Carolyn, you had the opportunity to speak to a Trump supporter who was at the Capitol on Wednesday. What can you tell us about their experience?
Right. He was from Branson, Missouri. He said he came in specifically for this rally, for this pro-Trump rally, and he made it all the way up to the balcony of the Capitol. Again, you cannot be on that balcony without a special credential on a normal day. So for anyone from the public who has not gone through a metal detector, who does not have the right credentialing, who does not have a reason to be on that balcony, it's amazing that they got that far.
Still in U.S., many world leaders have expressed shock and dismay at what the police called riots in Washington on Wednesday that resulted into at least 4 deaths and dozens of arrests. Supporters of U.S. President Donald Trump marched on Capitol Hill after Trump called for protest against the victory of his rival, Joe Biden, in November's election. U.S. courts have repeatedly rejected Trump's claims that the vote was rigged. For VOA News, Henry Rigwell reports from London.
European allies watched with dismay as the violence unfolded at the U.S. Capitol Wednesday. French President Emmanuel Macron gave a televised statement.
What happened today in Washington, D.C. is not America. Definitely.
German Chancellor Angela Merkel praised the reaction of President-elect Joe Biden. This democracy is stronger than the attackers and rioters, she said. On Twitter, Britain's Prime Minister Boris Johnson called the violence disgraceful. His Interior Minister Priti Patel blamed President Donald Trump.
His comments directly led to the violence. And so far, he's failed to condemn that violence, and that is completely wrong.
NATO's Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg tweeted, "Shocking scenes in Washington, D.C. The outcome of this democratic election must be respected." A spokesman for the United Nations Secretary General said, "It is important that political leaders impress on their followers the need to refrain from violence." Israel's leader Benjamin Netanyahu expressed support for his country's chief ally.
American democracy has always inspired me. Lawlessness and violence are the opposite of the values we know Americans and Israelis cherish.
Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi wrote on Twitter, "The democratic process cannot be allowed to be subverted through unlawful protests." Meanwhile, U.S. rivals taunted Washington. In a televised speech, Iranian President Hassan Rouhani said it showed how fragile and vulnerable Western democracy is. In a statement, Venezuela said the United States is suffering the same thing that it has generated in other countries with its policies of aggression. China attempted to twist the narrative. Hua Chunying, a spokesperson for the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, said the mainstream media in the United States have unanimously condemned this as a violent incident, using words like thugs, extremists, villains, and disgrace. However, what words did they use to describe the violent protesters in Hong Kong? They said it was a beautiful sight and profiled violent protesters as democratic heroes and said that the American people stand with them. Moscow's deputy UN ambassador, Dmitry Polyansky, compared the violence to the 2014 revolution in Ukraine, writing on Twitter, quite Maidan-style pictures are coming from DC. US allies share the pain of many Americans watching the violence at the heart of its democracy. Many foes are using the events as an opportunity to settle scores. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories with Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, John. A local leader in Mabon County of Upper Nile State says 3 people were killed and 2 others injured this week after fighting broke out between civilians and armed men believed to be SPLA-IO forces. The acting commissioner from Mabon County of Upper Nile State says suspected SPLA-IO forces from the Liang area attacked several villages in Mabon on Wednesday. He said the gunmen were dressed in military uniforms and the armed men also burned down several huts displacing civilians from their homes. The SPLA-IO deputy military spokesman, Colonel Lam Paul Gabriel, said he needed to consult with his commanders before commenting. Mabon hosts thousands of Sudanese refugees who have fled violence in the Blue Nile region and the Nuban Mountains. Authorities in Lanya County of Central Equatoria State say three civilians were killed and four others wounded following clashes between cattle keepers from Tarakeka County and cattle keepers in Lanya County yesterday. The former police commissioner for the now defunct Yay River State says cattle keepers from Tarakeka raided cattle from the host community, which triggered the violence. Local authorities say groups of cattle keepers from different communities have been fighting each other in Lanya over the last few weeks. Major General Yoasa Lujankamba, the former police commissioner for the now defunct Yay River State, says the well-armed cattle groups continue to roam through several villages of Lanya County, and he called on the national government to intervene. Simon Ladu, the paramount chief of Lanya County, says cattle keepers from Tarakeka raided hundreds of cattle from the host community. And finally, in a major step towards shedding its image as a state that sponsors terror, Sudan signed the Abraham Accords this week, normalizing its relations with Israel. By signing the accords, Sudan is now on track to relieve its massive debt with the World Bank with a $1 billion loan from the U.S. government. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
During this pandemic, the World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say if you have a fever, a cough, or have trouble breathing, you should stay at home and contact a healthcare facility. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest health news.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
That's our show for this Friday. We now leave you in a dancing mood with Koffi Olomide and Diamond Platnumz with their song entitled Wah. We've been listening to Koffi Olomide and Diamond Platnumz with the song Wah. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for allowing us into your homes, vehicles, and phones. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you are in public places. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.